Hi everyone, and welcome to another Hashtag Ask Jim. So it's a bit colder, unfortunately. It's only already April, but we feel like we're in winter in Melbourne, and we've just finished a racquetball game too, so it might be a bit short of breath. But what we're going to do, Jim, is we're going to just start with a couple of new division announcements. So we've had one or two new divisions launched this month. So do you remember what they are? Do you want to tell people about them? So there's one that we could use at the moment. So that's a new one, the massage division, remedial massage.
Yeah, remedial massage is good. And we do intend to be customers of our own division for our staff, for our lunches. What else is coming? We're having just at the 1st of May, we're starting
Home care,
which is looking after people in their homes, NDIS and so forth, which is a really, really big one.
And I think there's Sue from Life Coaching who went live, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, so Life Coaching too. So good, some great new divisions getting going.
Absolutely. I think with Jim's Remedial Massage, they're giving the first 10 franchises for free. So they just need people to take on some leads. So first 10 franchises are free. If you know someone who's qualified masseuse, put them forward to it. All right, cool. So what we're going to do, guys, is we've got the microphone set up. We want you just to come up and ask Jim a question. Anyone who asks Jim a question on the mic gets first pick of the prizes at the end of the night, depending on what it is. If not, we'll read the questions out from here. So who wants to start us off and come up and ask Jim a question on the mic? Yeah, yes, just come up. Don't put your hand up. Just run up. It's polite to do that, but just come up. Come up to the microphone here, mate. We'll get your head on TV.
Can we ask more than one question?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Right. All right. Pleasure to meet you, Jim.
Yeah.
First question is, how do I live a good lifestyle and keep my pockets fat? Yeah. How do I live a good lifestyle and keep my pockets pretty good?
In other words, make good money.
That's correct. Yeah.
Well, I'd suggest you buy a Jim's franchise. That's great.
Oh, that's already in there.
Yeah. One of the things we emphasise very strongly is hourly rates.
Yeah.
I've actually got a talk on that tomorrow afternoon at 3:15. And there's all kinds of ways of increasing your hourly rates, including reducing travel, charging higher prices. One of the things I was talking to people at dinner this evening is how many franchisees ask for zero.
Yeah.
They got a customer base, and they shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
What they should be doing is putting their prices up substantially here, 10% here, 15% there, 20% there. And as they drop a few customers off, take the new ones from the office, so you get steadily more money. And then you do the high-priced extras.
Yeah.
Like, not just a... What division are you in?
Carpet cleaning.
Carpet cleaning, yeah. Well, you go in to do one job, and then you upsell to do the upholstery. You're already there, for example, or the mattresses or whatever
mattresses
else you can
something,
do.
Yeah. Okay, so, beautiful, yeah.
And the thing to do is be part of the system. Come to meetings, talk with your franchisor, talk with good franchisees, and just pick up ideas and constantly... Success is not one giant decision. It's 1,000 little improvements in what you do. And if you do that, your income just magically rises. Just keeps on going up. That's the secret.
Yep.
Either that or you get enough money and you can let your hours go down.
That's my plan. That's what I'm trying to do. But thank you so much.
Was there a second question?
The second question. Yep. What's the key to being a good husband?
As I said, having three divorces probably don't do what I do. I don't know. I've been very happily married for 23 years.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore my wife. She's just absolutely wonderful. I think I'm simply lucky and she puts up with me, honestly. So blind good luck in finding the right...
Yeah,
right
I think woman. I found her. She's putting up with a lot of my stuff, so we'll see how it goes. But thank you so much, Jim. Pleasure meeting you.
Good question, man. Good. Thank you for starting us off as well. Anyone got a question for Jim, guys? Just walk up, come up. Thank you very much.
Jim, after all these years, what motivates and inspires you to keep coming to work every day?
I love it. It's just the biggest buzz you imagine. If you gave me $1 billion, I would do the same thing as I do now because it's very meaningful. Look, it isn't about money. I mean, money helps, of course, but it's about doing something you feel is worthwhile. And I do things a lot that really have an impact. Somebody comes to me for help and I can do something for them. That's a regular occasion. I mean, I'm talking about, like, on a daily basis, I can help somebody somehow. And that sense of purpose it's hard to beat. To me, you've got to feel that your life means something. And that's to do with family, to do with any cause that you're involved in, and I have a research institute that I'm very passionate about. It's about doing a job that helps other people, that you feel a real sense of meaning out of. I couldn't just do something for the sake of money. I just couldn't do it.
Good question.
That's it. Great question.
Got a question, guys? Feel free to come up and ask Jim. I've got them all here. But
Sadly, when the time comes, does your successor see the same vision for the gyms group that you do?
That's a good question, actually. The point is, I don't really know who my successor is. I've got... I'm very concerned, to be quite honest. I'm probably, given my present state of health, I'll probably live to about my early to mid-90s. That's based on near-perfect health, lifestyle habits and so forth. So I should be around for a while longer, more than most people coming to training, I would say, this week. The idea is that the Control Gyms Group will go to a family trust, which is basically there to support my research institute. And my children are going to have a vote. And I've got 10 kids, plus their married partners. They will get a vote. So I'm trying to set up a system to find really ethical people. So I've got a couple of very good potential sons-in-law who are very decent young men. I'm hoping they'll take a role in the future. So it's a tough question. The thing that scares me most is that some greedy multinational, like Retail Food Group, will come in and take control and just say, we're going to make a lot of money. And you could in the short term, but you destroy so many lives. That's the thing that really, if anything, worries me the most. So I'm hoping that by the time I get to be old and frail and fragile, which I'm certainly not yet, I will have some very good people ready to take over. And it's important, even more than business skills, they share the ethics.
Thank you,
Jim. Good question. Thank you very much
very
for that one.
Question.
Come up, go for it.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for someone starting off like a brand new franchisee?
Follow the system. Go to meetings. Talk to your franchisor. Just get involved as much as you possibly can. Be part of it and just keep on learning. You're not going to be brilliant when you first start. But you've got people around you who are very, very good at what they do. And they'll all... And I, very confidently say they'll be very eager to help you and advise you. And you'll find people who are natural mentors. And as time goes by, you'll be a mentor yourself too, because you'll show people what you've done. And you'd often find that the best people, mentors, are those who actually go to the meetings most regularly, because they're the ones most engaged. But there are some fantastic people to learn from in gyms. There are so many. And if you want to reach even beyond your own region to other regions and keep on looking. You know, I read on average or listen to a couple of books a week. So I'm always listening, I'm always reading, I'm always learning, always getting new ideas, always changing what I do every day. Every day of my life, I'm asking myself the question, how can I do it better? And that's the secret, not being incredibly brilliant or good looking or lots of education. None of those things really matter very much. What matters is you're just looking at what you're doing and saying, how can I improve? And if you do that, you are going to be absolutely brilliant.
Good question. Good question, guys. Just come up and just come to the mic. It's good. We've got plenty of people.
Keep going up.
It's great.
We've got your mic.
How are you, Jim? Two questions, if I can.
Yeah.
Your best bit of advice you've ever been given and the worst.
Best advice would be very hard. One thing my father said to me, the only business advice he ever gave me, but it's meaningful, is you never gamble where you can't afford to lose. That's a good one. You never bet the farm.
Yeah, cool.
There's many, many bits of advice. I would say, in general principle, the best advice I ever got was from my faith, from reading the Bible, from understanding the way that Jesus talks about servant leadership. And the parable of the talents, those kinds of things. So if you looked at my mentor, that'd probably be him. And what was the other question?
The worst.
There's so many terrible bits of advice around. The mistake I often hear people do is you buy things on the basis that somebody will pay more for it. To me, that's a really crummy bit of investment advice, and usually you come unstuck doing it. An example of that would be, Bitcoin, that kind of thing.
Yeah, crypto.
Crypto, yeah. That you're buying it simply because it's got no real value, but you're buying it because you think somebody will pay more. And sometimes they do, but usually they pay less and you end up out of pocket. So I'd say that's one thing I hear a lot of. It's been going up so much, I'm buying because then like somebody will pay more. Well, it doesn't usually work.
Fair call. And last question, obviously mowing is your favourite franchise. Obviously.
Yeah.
which is your least favourite?
Wait.
I can't ask a question like that.
Yeah, you can.
If I had one, I wouldn't tell you.
We have to give him a prize for that, because you generally answer any question no matter what it is, so that seems to be one that's got you. So it's not bad.
Oh, I'll give you a prize for an unanswerable question.
There you go. Well done. It's a good one.
Hey, Jim, you don't have to answer this question, but you said any question. I noticed in your speech yesterday at the end, you said, God bless. I wonder how much of your success do you attribute to God?
I attribute to Christian principles. If you look at the way we think about leadership in gyms, the servant leadership, the thing I talked to you about on Monday morning, that's straight out of John's Gospel, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. The idea that a leader is somebody who is a servant to those they lead rather than being an authority figure. It's a very remarkable story, and I'm not saying this, you don't have to be a Christian or any kind of believer to understand the power of what he did. In those days, washing somebody's feet was a very menial job because their feet got very dirty. They walked on dirty, you know, dusty roads with sandals. So your feet were filthy. Washing somebody's feet was a very degrading job, something that slaves did. Occasionally, a really revered rabbi, his disciples might wash his feet as a sign of respect. But Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, on the Thursday night, he insisted on washing his disciples' feet. That was a very radical thing to do. And it's something that really was unknown in the world at that stage. It was so alien to the culture of the Romans and the Greeks and people who lived that time. The idea that a leader should serve. And that's powerful. That kind of vision is behind. And you know, Jim's is, it's a very Christian organization, not in its forms, but in its ideology, in its systems, in its beliefs.
Thank you very much.
Your question?
I might say too, I have a deep respect for people of other faiths. And when I talk to people who are like Sikhs and Muslims and Hindus, who share many of the same principles, I feel a lot in common, probably more than I do for most of my secular countrymen, because people of faith, we understand each other. And I have a lot of respect for, say, the Muslims who, a lot of the leaders in gyms, especially in divisions like cleaning and laundry, are practicing Muslims, and they are wonderful people. So I'm not, come.
Hi, Jim. Now that you've actually raised religion, I have read that you were an atheist in a past time. I would like to know, was there a particular event or something, if you would like to answer it, of course, as to why that changed for you?
I got to know some people that I really liked, and I saw God through them. I think that's how most of us come. Mm-hmm. You see what effect it has on people's lives. It was an amazing experience. It was really life-changing. One of the most astonishing things that ever happened to me. It just changed everything. And all very suddenly, I went from being a militant atheist to a quite fervent Christian. That's overnight.
Yeah.
You know, shocking people. There was one guy who actually knew me quite well, and somebody said to him, you know, Jim Penman's become a Christian. And they said, he just looked at them and he said, Jim Penman, a Christian. Jim Penman, that guy. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was very, yes. I guess I'm all one thing and the other, aren't I? It's just my nature. I'm, as the Bible says, I wish you were either hot or cold. If you were lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Mm. I mean, it's kind of that applies to me fairly well. Never lukewarm.
We've done a bit of content online as well, so if you want to hear about Jim's beliefs and stuff, we've done a few things, and a lot of people say you shouldn't do that with the business, but it's a big part of figuring how it operates. And
I don't make a big thing of it, honestly. Yeah. And as I said, we have a lot of people of different faiths in gyms, and they're brilliant people, they really are. But that's my personal, Jesus is my personal guru. That's the way I see it.
Great, thank you.
There you go. Any other questions come up? Go for it.
Yeah, hi, Jim. You like history. Just wanted to know, if you have an opportunity to meet someone from history, who would you meet?
I'd go back to the classical age of Greece in the late 5th, early 4th century. It was a time of cultural brilliance, never before seen in the world. The kinds of developments that they produced at that time, it was the birth of theatre, of the writing of history, of architecture was extraordinary. Even their pots were magnificent works of art, worth a huge amount of money for those that survived. They were just amazing people. To be able to go and learn the language and be able to go and speak to those kind of people would be something that would be amazing.
Okay, do you recommend anything that we should be reading, or any history book you reckon, or anyone we should be reading about?
I don't have a copy of it here, but we run out of them. Your epigenetics.
What are your book, are there?
If you look at valuehistory.org, you'll see some really great books that I wrote. So about my version. If you're talking about general works of history, I would suggest that Guns, Germs and Steel by Jared Diamond is an absolutely brilliant book. It's very profound and deep, but it's also very well written, very engaging. And he knows people across the world and talks to them. And yeah, that's an extraordinarily great book. Beautifully written. And just great. If you're going to read one book about history, I'd read Guns, Germs and Steel.
Oh, Jim's also got a really good newsletter, actually. It's not the Jim's one. There's a Jim's newsletter which he sends every month for franchisees, but there's actually another one which is a personal one.
He
heaps of things in it, so, yeah.
Yeah, I keep people in touch with the books I'm reading and the research program and so forth. We've got a number of things going, actually. We've got a book on birth rate coming up, probably be published early next year, looking at declining birth rate and what can be done to reverse it. And it's quite possible to do that, but it's quite alarming the way the birth rate's dropped so much. Cool. And I'm very interested in that. I'd also like to do a book on health and happiness too, because I think there's great principles we can learn. So I've got a whole lot of projects that are going on right now. It's fun.
The jimpenman.com.au is his website. You can go there, it's all book lists, and you can sign up for the newsletter and stuff. And every month we do one out. It's all personally written by you. It's a whole variety of stuff. So
it's all over the place.
Yeah, it is.
It could be politics. Some people don't like that.
Yes.
I'm always the same.
Yeah, a few nasty replies sometimes, that's all right.
Then reading, history, the research program.
You've also got a recommended book list on your website too. It's got like 60 books or something on there which you can go to. Cool. Yeah.
A lot of, I really, really recommend books. I think that's fantastic. I think if you're out there working and you can have a talking book, and that's one of the good things about, like even for mowing people now, they've got these electric mowers, so you can listen, and you can listen while you're driving around the place. There's just so much amazing stuff that's been... I just finished a book called The Circadian Code, which is about how our bodies adjust to different levels of light and so forth, and how we can sleep better and eat better. Things like not eating for 3 or 4 hours before you go to bed, for example, and having all you're eating in a time-restricted time. Like I practice 16-8, so I actually have all my meals within an 8-hour time window. But those kinds of things and not exposing you to blue light in the evening. That's just an example of one book. There's a book called... Why Not to Die? What's it called?
Oh, the one you recently done. Yeah, it's in your latest edition. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I remember it.
Gregor Michaels is the author, but it's just a fantastic book about the advantages of plant-based eating. Or one I read recently about processed foods, super processed foods, and why it's so bad for you. People are so ignorant about basic elements of health. So I think it's just great to learn. And I think it keeps you young too, because I'm always changing my mind about things. I'm always learning new stuff. And I'm 72 next month, so I just avid to learn. I love reading something that changes the way I think about something. I think, I never thought of it that way. Well, yeah, that's a real point.
Fantastic.
All right. I change my mind a lot. My mind is very... Yeah,
well, a lot of franchisees listen to podcasts as well. We've obviously got a Jim's podcast, so that's a really good one as well. If you're just thinking about it still, Jim's podcast. We have a lot of franchisees who listen to the Australian Lawn and Garden podcast. There's all these different things. There's so much really good resources for franchisees in terms of their industries as well. So
people have this idea you've got to get old, and I do not feel old. I really feel incredibly full of energy, full of ideas, full of enthusiasm. I love life. I look forward to it. I have got so much to do in the next 20 years. I cannot believe that people my age are retired. You know, we've got so many brilliant franchisees in the mowing division, particularly who are in their 70s. One just had his 80th birthday. I don't believe in retirement. even to get to the stage where you can't physically work, which I believe I still could if I needed to, there's so many jobs that can be done. I think it's an immense waste of human potential for people to stop working. We should be, we're evolved to live well past the age of reproduction because we have the kinds of minds and abilities to achieve so much. You know, in hunter-gatherer societies, the older women actually gather more than the younger ones do, and they support their daughters, and particularly and their grandchildren that way, and so forth. So I'm wandering way off the topic, aren't I? But that's you get me started on.
No, fair enough. Yeah. Hey, thanks for that anyway. God bless you.
Cheers. Got a question, guys? Feel free to just come up. Go for it.
Hey, Jim. Today we learnt about resilience in work in our new franchises. Was there a mantra or something that you used to repeat to yourself to help you get through the tough times when you were first starting out?
The most... Resilience has got a lot of things to it. Being fit and healthy is very important in that. But also the attitude of gratitude. As a Christian, one of the things we do a lot of, or we should do a lot of, is be thankful. You're always thanking God for the blessings that you achieve. Now, you've got something that's going wrong, and the trouble is we tend to focus on that one thing, you know, like it's a business problem. But then you think, okay, what's positive? And then you say, well, I've got my health, and I've got a marvelous wife, and I've got my kids who are great, and then I've got my friends, and I've got this and that, and you keep in mind the generality of life, and you realize that you're really blessed, and this particular misfortune is simply one small aspect, which is actually pretty tiny by comparison with so many other things, like something happened to one of your kids, for example. And once you do that, your state of mind changes in such a way that you're very able to cope with the problem rather than being drowned by it.
Okay.
So attitude of gratitude is great.
Yeah.
And whether you pray to whatever God you believe in, or whether you just simply keep that in mind, that's a powerful way of thinking about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, good question.
We won't forget you.
There's plenty of time.
Sorry, I joined the line.
There's no rush.
Hi there. I just wanted to find out, in the beginning, because I've only just started reading your book, it sounds like you went through quite a bit of hardships and trouble to get where you are. What helped you to stay positive and motivated to actually continue? Because normally when people have so many knocks, they just give up. So what was your...
In my 20s, I developed a theory of society which suggested that our civilization is going through in a very wrong direction. And it's basically got to do with biology and it's the effects of wealth and urbanization.
Yeah.
It's got a biological epigenetic effect. And I had a mission, felt a mission to actually do something about that, to work out a method of reversing that, which would have inestimable benefit for mankind, especially vulnerable to things like drug addiction and those kinds of areas too. That was always my guiding star. I had to achieve that. And so no matter what happened, I couldn't give up. It was just not under any something I could even think of for even a split second. There was never any possibility I would ever give up on that mission, even though it seemed extraordinarily hopeless at the time. When I was an impoverished mowing contractor, like tens of thousands of dollars in debt with no property, no nothing, I just had to keep on going. I think if your sense of purpose, if your sense of mission is strong enough, you can go through anything. And having a sense of God's presence in my life too was very, very yes. important, very helpful, that I felt it was the mission that he gave me, that's what I'm for.
Well, thank you very much.
Good question. Anyone got a question? Yeah, jump up. Go for it.
Okay. Good evening, James. It's nice to meet you again. I have maybe it's a silly question, but I hope you love it. When I came before, like 13 years old, to Australia, once I saw your photo on the label on the everywhere, I say, oh, okay, who's this guy? I all the time when in the street, I can see his photo with his big beard. So when I have a chance now to buy the franchise, I say, okay, I'm going to see this man with fat one with big beard.
And very once, disappointing.
And once I saw you, I say, oh, is this one, James, with the same in the photos? So when you change your style.
Call it, that's very nice to call it a style as well. You got a style.
Style.
That's a no one.
Okay, look. this is going to be disappointing. There's no deep business reason for it. I grew a beard originally. That would have been back in the early 1980s because my fiance, later my wife, liked beards. Okay, so I did it to keep her happy. In 2000, I found myself single, not through any choice of my own. It never is, but this thing's happened. And my beard was starting to go a bit grey. And in your late 40s, you do not want to look any older than you are. So off it came. It's all about women. Isn't that true, guys? We live to impress you. That is our whole life.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
If you go to our Instagram profile, the first photo is a pinned photo of Jim in the beard, so you can have a look and see it's the real thing. We've done some videos.
If you actually Google Jim Penman images, you'll see a picture of me, one of the first, against the old trailer. We had a different, very gloomy looking thing. That's the actual picture it was taken from, this new logo.
Absolutely. Cool. I've got some questions here, Jim. I've got some online as well. If you want to go to question, Phil.
Sorry, the lady over there. Did you have something? Oh, yes.
Yes. Hi, Jim. I know since your 20s, you've been working on making people in society better. If you have one, or right now, if you had a superpower to change one thing in the world immediately, what would you change?
Victoria. We'll get on to that, yeah.
I don't think you could change something in a way that would not take away people's freedom of choice and action. I would like to develop something a treatment that would help people to live better lives. This is the one I'm working on in my research foundation. So that's not exactly a change. It's more like a medication or a medicine or a treatment of some kind. That's the kind of thing that I would want to produce. And I do intend to produce it. I do want to produce it. If you ask me if I have a superpower that I would like to have, I would like to be able to read people and understand in their inherent ability. Because one of the things that's really distressing for me is people who fail. You never get over it. I never get accustomed to it. If I could go to a group like this and I could know there are certain people who will not succeed, and we do our best to choose, but sometimes we just make mistakes. Mm-hmm. If I could avoid that, that would be fantastic. And also to recruit the people that I need to help me run the organisation. It's very hard to find people with the right kind of drive and the right kind of ethics to help me run Jim's group, if I could work out a way. So that's the superpower I'd like, not being able to fly like Superman or have X-ray vision or anything, just the ability to read people.
Right. Thank you, Jim. Oh, just one other one.
Yes.
In 100 years, like 100 years later, what would you like to be remembered for?
For my research project.
Right.
I mean, Jim's is fantastic, and we've touched thousands of lives, and I really value that. And it is a sense of purpose, but ultimately, if I could develop the treatment that I'm talking about, which is based on this biohistory ideas, it would change the world in a very fundamental way. It would help billions of people, and it would change the course of history.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you, Jim.
Mild ambitions. He's only a mild ambition.
Yes.
Hi, John. It's nice to meet you again.
You too.
My question
John.
Is... Oh, sorry. James. Jim, sorry. My question is, through your franchise, a lot of people have succeeded in the business. Can you recall how many people that did not succeed and what was done about it, please?
Good question.
Well, as to how many, I couldn't say. We know that based on our surveys, around 9% of franchisees every year report poor income.
Okay.
So that doesn't necessarily fail. Some of them might be very new.
Yeah.
But that's the best measure we've got of people who are not doing well. A bit over half, about 51, 52% typically report good and the rest are satisfactory. There's the three options we give them. So, yes. that's how many. That's the best estimate I can give you. But what was the other question?
So what was done about it?
What do you do about it? So yes. How do you stop people from failing, or what do you try and do to improve?
Yeah.
Well, everything I talked about yesterday, we try and pick people who are likely to succeed, and the great majority of franchisees do, of course, eventually they have a tough start.
Yeah.
And just try and give better support. The biggest potential right now that we as a national organisation can do is in development of computer software. And have you been shown Jim's jobs yet? Were you shown that today?
Would have been today, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, that's a very early stage program. But it's the vision that I have for it, it would do extraordinary things. For example, one of the things that I really want to see, and hopefully by the end of the year, is a system that will actually remind a franchisee if they haven't rung or contacted the customer. And if they do contact them and they can't reach them, a very simple way of sending a text and having that. If we could do that, and then if they don't contact the customer, comes back to franchisor can then contact them. So the business of bringing customers back is fraught with problems. And it's probably the single major cause of complaints. So we could actually get around that particular issue. And the other thing we really want to do, and this is a bit further down the track of it, is have a system that will allow our system to recognize a franchisee's diary, knowing how much time they've, which you would tell us, and then where you're going to be. And then with your permission, instead of getting you to ring the customer back, we put you straight into the diary. So you will get, instead of saying ring this customer, you'll say you're expected there between 2 and 4 this afternoon. Yeah. Now you can change it if you wish to, but you've already got an appointment. So if we could do things like that and other kinds of changes that would make life easier and reduce the level of upset clients, we could help franchisees to do much better. And that's just only part of it. There's a lot more things we could do to improve based on computer, on IT technology. Not even AI, just basic late 20th century, early 21st century computer technology. We can achieve so much.
Thank
good
you.
Good question. Thank you for that one.
Yes.
That's the first time Jim's been called John as well, so well done for that. That'd be a really good social media clip. I'm looking forward to that one.
So being a computer nerd, who is developing Jim's jobs? What company? Is it Jim IT?
No, it's internal.
We've got internal?
We've got our internal teams. We've actually got two teams. We've got a maintenance team, basically, with this Eugene and Nick and people like that who are working on the current systems, improving them. We've got two teams, one guy called David, who's looking at FMS, who's the total rewrite of the system, and another guy called Safi, who is running the redevelopment of Jim's jobs.
So have you told your vision to these people?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot.
Incessantly.
And what have they said?
Well,
it's not doable yet, or they need more time, or?
Well, they need time. Basically, it's a long process. It's been very frustrating. It really, really, I've had this vision for years, and it's been very difficult to get it to work. And we've done a lot of blind spots, made a lot of mistakes. Picked one or two very bad people, not bad people, but the wrong people for the job. And, you know, my hair used to be brown. Now it's white. You can tell the reason I get frustrated by it.
All right, thank you very much.
That's a good question, it's a very good question.
If we could implement these things, just that alone, we could drop our complaints to less than half of what they are now. That would be incredibly exciting. If we did that, the increase in volume of leads would be extraordinary. You just would be able to find so much easier to get franchisees good-paying jobs. And so much easier to make money. It would have a monumental impact.
Good question.
Thank you. Hey, Jim. My question is, in an effort to be more self-sufficient due to my living relatively remotely and rural, I would like to know if I can add a solar panel to the roof of my trailer to service customers where electricity may be an issue.
Yes.
I certainly wouldn't have a problem with you doing it. No, we'd encourage you. We're very strongly into solar power here. We've got solar panels all over the roofs, as you can see, around this place. We've got solar panels on my house. I've got a farmhouse which has got massive solar panels and a hydro system being set up, so I'm very much in favour of it.
Mowing franchisees have solar panels, some of them as well, so let them run the battery gear. And when they drive job to job, it will charge on the top and they just pull their batteries out. So we actually do have mowing franchisees already doing that. So it's just a panel attachment.
The way that it works, though, is that with these batteries, they can be partially charged by solar, but it's not enough power to do what you need to do. And for dog wash, batteries and solar power are very good for things like lights, for example, and motors that power. They're not so efficient at driving things that get the heat, like heating the water.
Mm.
So if you were going to do it, what you'd have to do is to have rechargeable batteries, which you could power partly from your solar panels, but more likely when you get home, you've charged them.
As well, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You definitely have to do it, though. Like, you'd have to be some interesting system you come up with.
We'd certainly work with you. If you're interested in that, we'd love to do it, and you can be a demonstration unit and help you do it.
Yeah, very much so. Where I am, quite rural, I'd also like to join and buy sites on our rural farmers markets and things like that, so I could set up at a farmers market or a gypsy fair and be able to demonstrate from the trailer and take bookings from there with not having an electricity source as such.
You'd need a very good system of batteries.
Yeah.
And the thing about batteries is that they're not very well advanced yet.
Mm.
We would love to run this whole place. We have frequent power cuts around here. We've had to install a diesel generator. We'd love to do it off batteries. We really would, because we produce a lot of power in this place.
Mm.
But storing is the issue.
Mm.
So I am very hopeful. In fact, it's probably the one area of technology that I'm most interested in, apart from my epigenetics, which is my research area, is development of batteries, because that would be a life changer.
Mm.
There are lots of new technologies of batteries. Like, for example, most batteries are based on lithium-ion batteries, because lithium's very light. But you can actually, they're experimenting. There's even cars being made using sodium-ion batteries. And they're heavier, but sodium is a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And it also uses, the electrodes are actually made of cheaper material as well. So that's got potential for storing power a lot more efficiently. So it's exciting, and batteries are getting better.
Yeah.
But if the batteries were as good as solar panels, as efficient as solar panels, they'd be fantastic. But it's coming.
Yeah, definitely something in the back of the mind for targeting a different market.
Love battery stuff. I think it's fantastic. More and more of our franchises are moving across to battery-powered things, and I think they're great.
Yeah, fabulous. Thank you.
Good question. Cool. Got one here that I want to get to real quickly. Is from Stephen. Is Stephen from Mowing here? Stephen from Jim's Mowing? A few people are asking online. I've got to get to it because I ran 1,500 comments on the April 1st about this, so we'll get to it, about the Premier, all right? So someone's, why was running for Premier not a realistic option for you? Couldn't do any worse than the current mob. That was from Stephen from Jim's Mowing.
Because it's a very difficult thing, politics. It's a very specialised set of skills, which I don't have. I am completely tactless. I'll say exactly what I think. And you don't do that when you're in politics, really.
True.
So I don't think I'd be particularly good at it. I just don't have that kind of skill. And also, I guess too, the amount of time and effort it would take would detract from more important projects, which is my franchisees and my research project. So politics has an appeal.
Are you surprised how serious it was? Because I know there's a few Liberal people and reached out, and a few got up and about saying you're going to splinter the Liberal Party and all this sort of stuff. So they got quite angry.
If the Liberal Party were to adopt a sensible policy for doing something about the housing crisis, I would go out and I would door knock for them, and I'd give speeches and I'd run fundraisers. I would support them. And the same thing with Labor, for heaven's sake, if they were to do it. In fact, I'd have to say I'm no great fan of the Victorian Labor Party, as people may recognise, but they're the only people in recent times who've done anything at all, which is what they recently did by allowing more of the, what do you call it, the granny flats in certain areas. At least that's a movement in the right direction. It's an appalling crisis, it really is. And I see the suffering, and you see people who are hurt. We are getting mass immigration in this country, and we are not building enough people. And it's basically mainly got to do with zoning. There are stupid laws. This area here, my place next door, 5-acre covenants. How does that make any kind of sense whatsoever? We are 5 minutes from the station, 5 minutes from jobs, 5 minutes from shopping centres. Why do we have 5-acre covenants here? Why don't you allow us to build multiple units on all the land around here and let people be able to afford to live and let young people be able to afford to get a home? It's such an obvious thing. You know what's fascinating about the response to this thing is that when I go out in public about different issues like vaccinations and lockdowns and things like that, we get a lot of negative. We get positive, we get a lot of negative. You know, with this, it's what, 96% positive?
It's overwhelmingly positive.
Overwhelmingly
positive. Even on TikTok,
positive.
Which is surprising.
I think there's a thirst for people to do something about this, to overcome the NIMBYs and the bananas. You know what a banana is? Build absolutely nothing anywhere near anyone. There is a sense of crisis, and I think it's about time we did something about it. I really do. I would love to get involved. If there's anybody out there who it's really got the political nous to actually do something. If we could put a few members of parliament, take the upper house, hold the balance of power in the state parliament, because the state government's where it's at, then maybe something could be done.
Yeah, because your LinkedIn's been flat out all week from like liberal people and stuff like that, and it's I've just been having to tell them it's a joke. So they're getting pretty worked up and stuff like that. A lot of people got taken in by it, so it was quite interesting how far it went. It made Channel Seven News, made Channel Nine.
The interesting thing about it is it's not necessarily a left versus right issue. You have people on either side. I mean, the lefties are no better. The greenies, so-called, are terrible for the environment in that sense that they tend to just try and stop developments. But there's some greenies who have the greatest principles about this too. So it could be, when it's been done, in Minneapolis is a good example in the US. They got together a coalition which went right across all political spectrum. You know, as you know, America is very divided politically, very bitterly divided. In this particular issue, they got people from all over the political spectrum to work together to actually make housing affordable, to actually relax some of these ridiculous zoning laws. And people say it's because of the immigration. It's rubbish. It's not immigration, it's zoning. You stop people building the properties that people want to live in. It's just wrong. And I've got kids who are getting to the age where they're growing up and wanting to start families and stuff. And fortunately, I'm rich enough to help them. But how many kids have that kind of benefit? Because without my help, they couldn't do it. It's just not right.
There we go. We've got a question, guys. Feel free to come up, or we can keep going for 20 minutes and Jim will get out of breath.
Unfortunately, yes.
We've got one online though, Jim. I want to get to real quickly. John's gone here. I'm considering joining Jim's mowing and jumping from corporate role to a franchise, but he says he has anxiety around taking the plunge. Any advice about pushing me over the edge?
What I'd suggest you do is actually talk to some of the people who've done the same thing. And there are some wonderful people who've had corporate backgrounds who will talk to you about what it's like and what the difference is. What I can say is that the overwhelming advantage, overwhelming message is that they do really, really well. Anybody from a strong corporate background is one of the best indications of success. And they're overwhelmed. I was talking to one of my 10-year veterans. I was talking to him, and he had that kind of background. He's with the... actually, it was a public service, but a very senior position, and he said it was just amazingly better. The money was great, and the lifestyle was so much better than what he had in the past. So we can introduce you to people who are really who've been through that struggle. We can show you the videos. In fact,
let's go to the podcast. There's heaps of those people.
Can you zero in on those particular? Can you find ones that particularly relate to that kind of person?
Yeah, 30 years. There's a guy called Brett Vidler. Type that into YouTube and that'll come up. Absolutely, there's a few of them.
Yeah, if you write to us...
we'll give you a bunch, yeah.
Write to me, I'll jim@jimstart.net, I'll refer you to Joel, and we'll give you some videos. And then you can ring these people and talk to them. They're wonderful people. They really would be very happy to talk to you and go through all these things.
Well, that's what this gentleman did in the front row here as well. So he listened to a few podcasts and he's called a few franchisees, which is great. Now he's here. Who did you speak to? Was it Mitch? Was it you spoke to? Or?
Yeah. Four blokes in Mildura, two in Bendigo,
awesome.
A couple down here.
Eight in total, space, so that's good.
The more research people do, the better. We really, really encourage that. I was talking to a couple of ladies today who were actually looking at some stage at a different commercial cleaning franchise than ours. And I said, but why did you go to them and not us first? So I was really interested to know Now, eventually they made the right decision, but they did some research, so... But they're telling me all the differences. But it was interesting, you know, what made them interested. And it's part of the way it was pitched as a system where you could grow your business and put on workers and so forth, which, of course, is what we do in gyms, but we don't necessarily sell it that way. So I was really curious to hear. I was having dinner with them before, so it was interesting.
There you go. There's another one online real quickly, Jim, which we never had before. Nate Reed's gone, Jim, if you could date a celebrity, who would it be? It's an interesting one. Might get in trouble if you answer that, so that could be another one which has stumped you.
My wife.
Plain answer. Boring answer. Right answer.
I wouldn't date anybody but my wife. I really wouldn't. She is wonderful. I am incredibly blessed. For somebody who's obviously an incredibly noxious, bad husband, later on this month, we celebrate the 23rd anniversary of our meeting. We met at a railway station, and we used to, for many years, go back to reenact our meeting. It was an absolute miracle that changed my life. They talk about you start off and you're on a honeymoon, you're passionately in love, and then afterwards, if you're lucky, you become friends, and the passion dies, but the friendship stays, and that, if you're fortunate, you know, I am crazy, head over heels, in love with my wife. She is absolutely the most greatest woman in the world.
Yeah. Few brownie points there. Anyone have any more questions for Jim? Yep, cool. All right, I've got one. Got a couple of here, so I'm going to read them out. So where's Linda? Is Linda from here from Dogwash? Yep. Do you remember what your question was, Linda? I'll read it out. Yep. So she was just asking, is that you actually on this T-shirt here?
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
It's me. Yeah, that's the logo that was based on that picture. If you look at Jim Penman images, you'll see a picture, and it's actually that photo that it was taken from, and that's the graphic representation. Mm. They actually, if anybody, the early one was very solemn, and they were trying to get me to smile when they took the photo, and it was really difficult because I'm not good at smiling at cameras, and the actual way, they were desperate, and eventually one of my managers pretended to put his tongue in the photographer's ear. That is, that is why I'm smiling on the logo. And another, it just shows you how desperate they were. Another photo they were trying to get me to smile in, and they were really struggling to get any sort of smile out of me. And one of my managers also, he got up on a step ladder on top of one of the trailers, and he pulled down his pants, and he had these bright red boxers on. So that they go to extremes to get. And Joel knows all about this.
It's not easy.
I'm not a natural performer.
Definitely not easy. Guys, if you've got any more questions, please feel come up as well. We've got some time here as well. I'm going to run through, though, on the list here. Where is Aaron? So is Aaron Lim from Jim's Cleaning here? He's asked, what are your hobbies, Jim? You mentioned a few things, but what are your hobbies?
I love gardening. I've got big vegetable gardens on my farm. A lot of what we eat now, pumpkins and potatoes and silver beet and stuff comes off my farm, actually. We live quite a lot off that. I really enjoy it. I just like getting dirty, getting out and walking in nature. I love being outside.
Tell people a bit about your farm, because there's been a lot happening in your farm recently, so.
Yeah, well, I've got vegetable patches. We're planting a lot of food-bearing trees, like nuts and fruit trees and so forth, too, which is really, really exciting, really fun. So eating off the land is really, really good. I love being with nature. I love being out, away from the city. I don't like crowds. I enjoy training, but I don't like city. I don't like the city. I go into the city as little as I possibly can. I hate planes. I hate airports. I'm very, very rustic. What else do I do? I read a lot. I listen to talking books a lot.
Play racquetball.
Yeah. Sometimes I win. Sometimes I lose. Mostly lose against this guy. Nice. It's not too bad. We've got two.
Jim's really good. He's pretty good. Yeah. We played just before, that's why we're a bit out of breath, a bit low energy today.
I'm not low energy.
We're a bit out of breath.
He actually said he didn't want to play this afternoon because he'd be too zonked for us, Jim. And I said, come on.
I've got 30 kilos on you. It's hard on the knees playing on that racquetball court. And you're not too bad, so. No, Jim's a good player.
We got two all. I should have got you to play the decider because you were starting to wear out.
Yeah, you got the fitness on me big time. Yeah, definitely. But it's hard because it's hard to hit around you because you stand right in the middle of the court and I don't want to hit you in the head. I've done it before. It's the worst thing to hit Jim in the head with a racquetball. It's not nice.
Very good serves. Get in the back left-hand corner. It's fun. Yeah. I also unfortunately like to play computer games far too much. Mostly very primitive ones, things that don't take very long because I can do it in a break in something else. But I spend a lot of time with my wife. We go on dates quite regularly. Spend a lot of time with Lee. So, yeah.
Yeah,
and my kids too. I've got 10 children, and I spend quite a lot of time with them, both my 14-year-old son and also my older children. So that's a great blessing. I have a wonderful life.
You just mentioned your veggie garden. Were the Jim's vegetables out tonight from your garden?
No.
Not that many of them there.
Sorry, I actually, I'll tell you something. They do taste better. I don't know why exactly, but it's quite noticeable. Stuff that comes off my farm. I've got this big potato patch, which is probably it's the size of this room here. It's a very large one. And they're very funny looking things. They're all knobbly and misshapen and stuff. Something you never see in a supermarket, but they really taste good.
They're the odd bunch, hey?
I reckon gardening is a fantastic hobby. You know, happiness. There's a science to happiness, and there's a whole lot of things that make people happy. Good social relations is one. being fit and healthy, spending time outside, spending time in nature. There's a whole stack of different things that not smoking, not drinking too much, those kinds of things. But if you actually gardening actually hits so many things on the mind. It's physical exercise, it's outside, it's contact with nature. It's also healthy eating too, if you eat your own vegetables. So it's a gardening is probably one of the best hobbies there is. Now I'm biased obviously because I like it. But that's basically why I was a mowing contractor. It wasn't random. I like working physically outside. I just enjoy it.
Do you still mow your own lawn?
At the farm I do, yeah. Actually, would you like to guess what the brand of the mower is?
Honda.
No.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
Toro.
No.
Mesel.
No. No.
Rover.
No.
John
No.
Scott Bonner.
No.
Jim's.
No. It's a push mower. I don't even know what the brand is. It's just something I got from Kmart. And actually, you push it along and it turns these things and they do it.
Love so Kmart.
None of the brands that anybody uses in gyms except me.
Perfect. Thank
and
you.
And I enjoy it because it's very physical and it's very satisfying. I had the grass that was that high up by the station. I went through, I slashed it and I cut it down all around the farmhouse. And it's a fun job.
Good.
It's not a bad trivia question. So you're using a Kmart mower now to do the lawn. Kmart mower, okay. We'll have to clip that up and try and get Kmart to give us a free mower or something like that. That's quite...
Oh, there's probably a brand to it. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
But it's a push mower.
There we go.
It's a mechanical one that requires...
Old style.
Very
exactly.
old
school.
In fact, yeah. It was the first mower I ever used to use was cutting my lawn for my... our place. That was one of my jobs as a kid. And it was pushing a push mower around the lawn. And it was full of twigs and stuff, so it was really always getting stuck and stuff. It was quite a tough job for a kid. But I was doing that from the age of about 10, I guess.
There you go. Got another question, guys? Please feel free to ask for a bit of time.
Sorry, Jim. Me again. What would be your best advice for the youth today?
Get a job. Best advice for the youth.
Buy a franchise. Well, no, seriously... look, I know I'm biased, but the fact of the matter is people have this idea that you've got to have an education. You've got to go and spend years and years at university and you've got to have some sort of degree and stuff, which for some people works really well. I'm not saying it's not for anybody, but there are far too many people trying to go the academic route when they could actually have a much better lifestyle by going into some form of business for themselves. And a trade business is a very good business. It pays extremely well. We're talking about we aim for our franchisees to make 70, 80 bucks an hour. Now, we've got franchisees, and typically some franchisees have advanced education and some have been in corporate jobs and stuff, but the average turnover of a gym's franchisee is a little bit under $3,000 a week based on the surveys we've done, okay? Now, if you take out the costs and allowing for things like tax benefits and so forth, that is equivalent to an income of over $100,000 a year. That is well over the average Australian wage. And it's flexible and it's changeable and you can increase it if you wish. A lot of people only make that much because they don't want to work more than 30 hours a week. So I would say consider that the education isn't always the best thing for everybody. There are some people who could really look at getting a job. I'd actually think one of the best places to go to work to be someone like McDonald's too. Not because it's a long-term prospect maybe, but because it's a very good training. And you look at someone like Dan Carl that you heard from.
Not tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You haven't heard from Dan Carl. You wait tomorrow morning. It's a real treat. This is a guy who was a high school dropout. In his early mid-20s, he bought a mowing franchise with some fear, built a business that was turning over at its peak just under $1 million a year, employing numerous people, now one of the top franchisors in Jim's Group. He's a multi-millionaire. He's in his, 30, 32 or something like that. He's an amazing guy. He's all over the internet too. You can see all the stuff we've done about him. But there's so many stories like that too. There's so many opportunities. And I think it's a mistake to think that every person needs to get a degree of some kind. Honestly, I think people should consider other options. Because one of the things I hear so often, I wish I'd done this 10 years ago. I hear that all the time. I love it so much. It's so much better than what I was doing in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Good question. Get a franchise to the youth.
I'm a little biased.
You are.
But I do talk to people a lot, so I know what their effects are. It's not theoretical. I hear the good and I hear the bad too, the people who fail, and that's very painful. But overwhelmingly, it is a good answer. We've probably created more millionaires than any company in this country, I believe, because of the nature of our system, that we actually help and encourage people to build major businesses.
Absolutely. Guys, we've got probably time for a couple more questions if you got them. If not, I've got a few on the sheet here which I thought were interesting to read up, but please feel free to come up. We had here one, which is an interesting one, a curveball from Adam Kelly from Jim's Mailing. Is he here, Adam Kelly? No, he's gone. He's asked Jim, are aliens real? Which I think is a bit of an interesting one.
Well, there are uncounted trillions of planets in the known universe, so there's bound to be intelligent aliens out there somewhere. Are they here? No, obviously not. I don't think it's feasible because getting across interstellar space is so, so difficult. Mm. We haven't heard a whisper of anybody else. And I think, I've got a feeling that intelligent species tend to destroy themselves or the planet they're on. Mm. It's a big challenge for us. We could do amazing things here, but it's a dangerous time. Anybody seen the film Greenland on Netflix? Watching that last night with Lee, and it's quite frightening, but it just shows the way natural disaster could cause so many problems. And then there's man-made disasters like nuclear war, like biological warfare, like electromagnetic EMPs, all kinds of things that could cause damage.
I've got one more here as well from Ali Akbar from Jim's Cleaning. He's gone, what is your favourite and least favourite thing about the Jim's franchise system? Which is a good question. What's your favourite and least favourite thing about the system?
Well, obviously what I like about it is the opportunity people have to have their own business and have a great lifestyle. And I talk to people a lot about this. It's constant. I hear it all the time. If I ring my 10-year veterans, we were obviously a pretty positive bunch of people. I mean, amazingly great stories about things going well and how it's transformed their lives and how they've seen their kids grow up and this kind of thing too. I mean, you can't beat that. The least favourite thing is problems with IT. It really is. When we get a problem with Jim's jobs, my heart goes into my boots. I just hate it. So I'm always going, what can we do? This must stop happening. We must get better systems. We've got to. It's not for lack of resources. It's just so frustrating at times that it won't progress fast enough. I really, really, it bugs me. But it's so powerful. Technology is incredible. You know, a couple of decades ago, there was a whole lot of different companies in the franchising frame in Australia, similar size, like Jim's and VIP and others that were trying. We've now crushed everybody else. We're probably the size of the nearest 20 competitors combined, probably more than them. And I think our culture is a large part of it, but it's also one huge advantage we've got is we've got the funds and the resources now to invest in the technology. But it's very frustrating when it goes wrong.
All right, I know you're always down there and you're in the meetings all the time. There's a lot of meetings with it, so you're very involved with it.
Yeah, why did this happen? What can we do about it? How can we change it?
Yeah. Don't worry, it's the number one thing almost with you on obviously getting complaints. That's with the two things that you're most passionate about.
I'm very open, you see, because franchisees have my email address. So if something goes wrong, they'll email InfoTech, but they'll also they'll copy me in, so I know what's going on. So I'm very engaged in the process. I'm in touch with so many franchisees that I hear everything that happens, and I hear the frustrations and stuff, and it's really painful to listen to this sometimes, and to know that we're responsible, and to say, what can we do? Who can we find? What better systems can we do? How can we test these things better? Look, overall, Jim's Jobs does work pretty well. The great majority of franchisees are doing really well. They like it, and it's a great time saver. But it does sometimes give us problems, and it's very annoying.
So, Jim, we'll wrap it up there tonight. Thank you very much for your time and for your answers as well. Thank you very much for the questions. They were fantastic as well. I know Jim really enjoyed that, especially with the religious stuff. I know but we run on it, but that's good. All right,
there's a few discussions we've had between ourselves. This guy's an atheist.
Yeah, I walk into a church and set on fire.
I'm praying for him. But.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Probably not the right thing. So, What we'll do, Jim, is was there any questions that stood out to you? Because everyone who asked a question on the mic, you can come and get a prize. But what we do is Jim picks three that he likes and they get first choice. So
there was
a lot of
brilliant questions.
There was a lot. Was there any that stood out to you in your head?
What do you think were some really good questions that were asked that were so...
Well, I know your religion's important to you, and the person you picked up on the God bless at the end, because you deliberately say that. Because if someone is a Christian, they come up to you.
That's good.
So there's a gentleman with the hat up the back, up there. You want to come and pick anything you like? So you get first dibs on it as well. What else was there?
I don't know. Something I should keep it.
So there's a history. There's a good history one.
Yeah, the history
picked
one.
Up on that.
The one about who I'd like to meet in history. Who said that? Samuel. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Come up. Pick what anything you like. So which thing would you like to take here? Besides the laptop. Yep, you can take that. Yep.
Thank you.
Good man. And one more, Jim. Was there one more off the top of your head? Yep, pick anything you like.
I think about motivation. Somebody talked about what's keeping you motivated. That's a good question.
Motivation question, yep. Yeah. Come up, mate, and take anything you like here.
Take anything you like.
Here's the shirts there. Now, everyone who asked the question, you get a prize as well, so come see me at the end too as well.
Just come and grab one. There's plenty of beer.
Yeah, I will say this just quickly before we wrap up. If you do want a photo with Jim, now's a great time because there's a nice light there. There's not that much of a rush, but you've got to try and get him to smile. I can't guarantee he's going to smile, but please grab a photo for him there as well. So please come up and see us. And if you've asked a question, please come up and grab us as well. And thank you very much for your attention tonight as well. We appreciate it. Thank you.